Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Thank God he prophesied. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Don't give up. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and ye shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Your words are your future. Your words are your future. Proverbs 18:21 said that the power of life and death is in the tongue. God has spoken to my heart very firmly, because as with my life, as with your life, as with the world today, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of things that we don't know exactly how to address them or what to do or which way to go. But let me say at the very beginning of this message today, no one situation could be any drier, no one situation could be any deader than the bones that Ezekiel dealt with in Ezekiel 37. No husband, no wife, no child, no grandchild, no business, no shattered dreams or broken relationships. Nothing could be more impossible than Ezekiel's boneyard. He had nothing to work with but the word of God. Nothing. It wasn't as though a man, you know, was a little bit ill, or a man had a hand that was deformed through birth, or lepers that there's still life. I mean, Ezekiel had absolutely nothing to work with, and he was very wise when the Lord said, can these bones live? He said, God, I don't know. You ask me, you're God. You tell me, what's the answer to these bones? And you know, God is so marvelous. Just came to me in a time of meditating this last week. As sharp as God is, he took 7 days to create the earth. And you know how he did it? One day at a time. As God is, as powerful as God is, He could have just said, boom. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He was teaching us that it's line upon line, precept upon precept. If it doesn't happen today, there's a tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, there's another day. And when your trust and your faith is in God, there's always something there to work with. It's not over when you think it's over. It's not over when papers say it's over. It's not over when courts say it's over. You say, where does this end? It'll go as far as you want to go with it. No one's bones could be any drier. No one's bones could be any deader than Ezekiel 37. It just doesn't get any worse than dead is dead and dry is dry. They're not only dead, they're dry. They're not only dry, they're dead. So some of you ought to rejoice today. At least I have something to work with. At least there's some hope in my situation. No matter how impossible my boss may seem, no matter how impossible my family could be, no matter how difficult things are, when you have faith in God, there's always something to work with. But your future is in your words. Now, I know immediately our mindset, well, Brother Nichols, when's the next prophet coming to town? I just can't wait. Do you know where I could go find a prophet today? I have some dry, dead bones that need to be dealt with. Do you know where I could find a prophet today? And here is what God spoke to me. You don't have to wait for Mr. Prophet. And I know the prophetic. I am not belittling that. Some of the strongest things that have happened in my life were spoken through a word of prophecy, and they have come to pass. Some of them took a while to come to pass, but they did come to pass. So this is not belittling that. But you know, so many people, they have this mentality, well, if a prophet of God ever comes to town, my dry, dead bones might have a chance. Well, I've got a word from you. You're already in town. And you're in church this morning, and you're in a church that believes that nothing is impossible with God. And in a sense, every one of you, myself included, we don't have to be prophet so-and-so, but if we will consistently speak God's word over the people and the situations in our life, big challenge. I said it quickly, but big challenge. If we will consistently speak the word of God over situations and people in our lives, we will see God work. Now, I know that there are people that get a little foolish with this, and you know they're going to try to make somebody. No, the Word of God doesn't give you the power to make somebody do anything. That's called witchcraft. We're not in, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about something that's consistent with God's Word, something that is in line with God's promises, something that is in consistency with the promise and the known will of God. And God spoke this to my heart. In the midst of dead, dry bones, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, carried him out in the spirit of the Lord, set him down in the middle of the valley, which was full of not only dry bones, but dead bones. And then God asked him the question, can these bones live again? O Lord, only thou knowest, was Ezekiel's reply. One of the things that God spoke to me, now listen to me. You say, well, I could never prophesy. Oh, yeah. You prophesy all the time. You prophesy every day. I know there's casual conversation, and I'm not saying that every word we speak in conversation is of thus saith the Lord. I'm not lost in the twilight zone on that one. But every time you venture out of associated conversations about your business or your job or et cetera, or trivia, how's your mother doing? Every time you venture in to start saying, well, I don't know what's going to happen with them, you've just started to prophesy. And I heard the other day after the tragic astronaut situation, I thought, man, we are so brainwashed in our conversation. An anchor lady, I forget which news group she was with, And she was calling back in. She said, is there any new news on the astronauts? We're all just dying to know more. I thought, I've never heard anything more inappropriate in my life. Here you have a tragedy of some lives in eternity. And this little bubblehead says, we're just dying to know. Now, I hope I haven't been irreverent at the wrong time, but do you follow me? And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, we're all plagued with, well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's going to rain. It's rained before. I'm afraid it's going to snow. It has snowed before. I'm afraid that the stock, well, that's happened before, the stock market, you know, fluctuation. I'm afraid of war. Well, the Bible said in Chapter 27, verse 3, though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. People, we're going to have to line our words up with the Word of God. Because every day, one way or another, we're either speaking God's word, man's word, or our human spirit word. Well, I'll tell you what I think about it. I'm really not interested in what you think about it. What does God's word have to say about it? I tell you, I get so weary of, you know, in traveling sometimes I see more news than I like to. It's in the airports, it's in everywhere. And I just say, you know, I remembered why I don't stay glued to the news. You cannot saturate yourself with 15 or 30 minutes of bad news and go to sleep on that. You're tougher than I am if you can do that. You need to saturate your mind with some promises of God. Meditate upon the faithfulness of God. Before you go to sleep, sing a little song. You say, I'm not a great singer. God doesn't know the difference. He loves your song. God thinks you have a wonderful voice. Before you go to sleep, just sing a little song. Sing a little faith song. Make up a little song of praise and worship unto God. Don't go to bed on multiple murders and tragedies and terrorism and wars and rumors of wars. Wonder why you get up mad at the cat, ready to fight the dog. You just wake up looking for trouble. But you see, you can and you do, I can and I do prophesy all day long, every day for a goodly part of it. We're either speaking our word, we're speaking man's word, or we're speaking God's word, and that's called prophesying. And if life and death are in the power of the tongue, and that is true, then we are speaking words that we can or we cannot live with. I remember reading the story of some scientists that experimented with little dogs. And I don't know whether there was one or three, but if I'm remembering correctly, it was maybe two or three little dogs. They were mean. They were ugly. They screamed at those dogs. They showed no love. I don't think they were cruel. Certainly, they were not cruel to them, you know, as far as hurting them. But I mean just in words. Only words. 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 And those little dogs became cowed. They became fearful. They didn't want to see anybody. In fact, one or two of them even died because words were spoken that cowed those little animals and put fear into them. On the other hand, there was another experiment, and they spoke happy words and greeted them in the morning and played with them and were positive. And the little dogs were healthy and they were happy, and they just couldn't wag their tail enough to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Well, they didn't say that, but I said that. Let me tell you something, friends. That not only applies to the animal kingdom, that applies to people. Part of our job as a church and as a pastor sometimes is to help people who have been beaten down in life, cowed down in life, never told that they could do anything right, always a negative, always a frustrating comment. And then they come to church, and it takes a little while. It takes a revelation to help them to be able to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And this is part of our mission, not only that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, but oh, thank God that our words can be good words. So, dry, dead bones, it doesn't get any worse than that. Even the four leprous men, I preached a message on as bad as it gets. Well, what's worse than four leprous men is bones, dry and dead. Okay, God, I don't have the answer. What is the answer? Now God speaks again in verse 4, Ezekiel 37. And God said, prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy. And then God told him what to say. Prophesy unto these bones, and here is what you say unto them. Call it like it is. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The answer to every situation in my life and your life and this church is to speak the known word and will of God over it, them, whatever it may be. For thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. But nothing happened until Ezekiel started prophesying. The boneyard would have still been there, dry and dead, if Ezekiel had not heard the word of the Lord. Well, how's my husband going to change? You start prophesying over that husband. How are situations in my life going to change? Start prophesying. You say, wait a minute, this prophecy thing, when's the next prophet coming to town? I still feel a little hesitancy there. You know, if we could ever just meet a real prophet, hey, your words speak your future every day of your life. It's time to prophesy. You say, my name's not Ezekiel. Yeah, but you have some dry, dead bones in your graveyard. And it's time to speak the life of God into relationships that are right, into the situations of your life that you desire to see change. Sometimes the news media can be our worst enemy, continually speaking death. And it always has to be a fear thing. It always has to be, we're all afraid of this and we're all afraid of that. I remember I saw, I don't know, it was at Channel 8 years ago, that one of the men came and said, we're going to do a special on what causes sinus and, you know, allergies and all that. And we're going to do a special. And on the screen, little fuzzy things were blowing in the wind. And he went through his little spiel for 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and they would keep showing the little fuzzy things blowing and, of course, blowing out. And the man finally said, you know, I felt perfectly good when I started this, but achoo! Achoo! I mean, right there on the set, he couldn't hold it back. He talked himself into a situation. He watched those little fuzzy things until they got the best of him. Little fuzzy things are flying around all the time. Little fuzzy people are flying all the time. Little fuzzy situations are flying around all the time. And on the more somber side of that, wars and rumors of wars have been flying around ever since I was a boy. Raised in Fort Worth with the big B-52s and the B-36s, we always said, you know, the big one's going to be dropped on Fort Worth because we were a very strategic part of the nation. And I remember from a young man's heart, fear from time to time, wondering what was going to come and what would happen. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been little fuzzies floating around in the air. Little fuzzy people, little fuzzy situations, little life-threatening situations. And if you center on that, you'll go down under it. You say, what if they drop the big bomb on us? We go up laughing. We rejoice eternally in the presence of God. Amen. God did not call us to live a life of fear. Fear of the economy, fear of wars, fear of rumors of wars, fear, fear, fear. Just get you a paper and you don't read far. Oh, we're afraid of this and we're afraid. You know, we don't know much of anything about Iraq, but we're afraid of everything we know. And if you'll read your Bible, most of your Bible was written in an impossible circumstance or situation, such as Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when it was impossible and everything's closing in. And the man said, I believe it's time to pray. And he called upon the name of the Lord, and he called the nation to prayer. And they even called the babies to prayer and the children to prayer. The nation cried out to God, and God, through supernatural divine intervention, did what Jehoshaphat and all of his army could not do. He was outnumbered. He was outmanned. He was outflanked. But no enemy is bigger than the Lord of hosts. No threat is bigger than the Lord of hosts. No one is bigger than God. He can speak and the waters are calm. He can speak and the fire is extinguished. He can speak and wars can be diminished. For thus saith the Lord, Ezekiel, if you'll just speak, he said in verse 5, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. Speak to those bones. I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. In verse 7, that's where most of us resigned right there. Not me. I'm not talking to anything like that. They catch me out in the boneyard talking to dry, dead bones. They'll have me in a padded cell somewhere. But yet you get mad at your car and say, you crazy thing, you. We talk to things. I called myself stupid last night and I said, shut my mouth. It wasn't bad. I just did something that's dumb and bumped myself. I said, you stupid thing, you. And I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm not stupid. I'm a creation of God. I need to talk to myself better than I'm talking right now. I'm God's child. Folks, this is not a cute little message. I'm telling you that your future is in your words. America's future is in her words. And someone's going to have to say better words than we're hearing over the news media. Someone's going to have to say better words over your family than some of you are saying. We must speak words, consistent faith words that are in line with God's word, and speak them consistently. Well, so thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. Verse 7, what did he do? So I prophesied. Now we have a decision to make. What are we going to say about us, about our life, about the people in our life, about our nation? You know, no matter what you think about the president, he's the only president we have. And we have young men from this church and churches all across the U.S. We have people that will be in harm's way. And we need to speak supernatural divine protection. We need to believe that God gives our military wisdom. Folks, this is not just a what about me thing. I don't know everything about everything, and neither do you. But we need to speak the word of God over our nation and speak the word of God over our leadership. Whether you think this is a wise move or it's not a wise move, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. And if you'll speak God's word, remember Psalms 27, though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. When you prophesy God's word, it builds confidence inside of you. The word confidence, just a few spins on that. It means to trust. Confident means to trust in God, to be secure in God. The word confidence means to be sure, as an athlete on the field that is sure of his ability or her ability. Think about it. It means to be bold. We don't live the life of a wimp. We live bold. We don't live the life of fear. We live boldly. We're bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. And it also means to have hope in the midst of hopelessness. I will not fear. I will hold on to my trust and my faith and my boldness and my surety and my hope, even in the midst of hopeless situations. If anybody comes through something like this, I'll come through. If anyone's going to be a winner in this situation, I will be a winner. I'm not coming out of this bruised and broken and bleeding and emotionally crippled for the rest of my life, but I'm coming out of this thing victorious. I'm coming out of this thing with the joy of the Lord. I'm coming out of this thing with a new confidence in God, because my faith is not in people. My faith is not in circumstances. My faith is not in who loves us or who doesn't love us. Ultimately, my faith is in God, who is the Lord of hosts. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You speak negatively, you start feeling negative. You start speaking fear, fear overwhelms you. You start speaking fear to your body, and your body does not handle that very well. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to put confidence in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3:26, the Lord shall be thy confidence. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, and my quietness and confidence. He said in quietness and in confidence, it's going to be your strength. Ephesians 3:12, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. Folks, get a grip on this thing. We're not the fear people, unless you choose to be. We're not the defeated people. We're not the underdogs. We're not the beaten down. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Christ always causes us to triumph. Built into the finished work of Calvary is the fact that we always triumph if our faith and trust is in God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, having this confidence, I know. See, confidence builds that inward knowing. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and 14 tells us to hold fast the confidence, and that we are to hold the beginning of our confidence. In fact, in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. I'm running the race. We're running the track. I have the baton. And I become frustrated, throw the baton away, and stop. Do I win the race? No. And I can sit there and watch everyone pass me and go across the finish line and say, I just don't understand the fairness of the system. I didn't win. You didn't win because you quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. I said quitters never win, and winners never quit. You say you're trying to stir me up. I think you finally figured it out this morning. I'm trying to stir you up to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? But it has to come from the heart. Confidence. Trust in God. To be secure. To be sure. To be bold. To have hope in the midst of hopelessness. You see, every day, let me remind you again, every day, whether you receive this or not, you are prophesying. You're prophesying about your dog, your cat, your children, your husband, your wife, your business. Every day we're prophesying about our life. You say, well, will it change immediately? You don't turn the ship around immediately, but you start turning. And by degrees, the ship begins to turn. By degrees. And when you redirect your faith, instead of being fear-oriented, you become, just say, it's going to be interesting to see how God works this out. I tell you, we need to live life with no excuses. No wimp, no crybaby, no excuses. If anybody wins, I'll win. And if I'm not first, I'll be a close second. And if I'm third, at least I didn't quit. And if I'm not at the top of the list, praise God, at least I'm those that refuse to quit and I finish the race. So God said, oh my. God said, prophesy, and Ezekiel began to prophesy. And he said, as I prophesied, there was a noise. There'll never be a good noise until you prophesy. You don't change grain yards. They're there. A as I prophesied, I heard a noise, a good noise. Now that would frighten some people in a graveyard to hear a noise. But he heard a good noise. I heard a noise and a shaking, and bones came together, bone to his bone. Things getting in divine order. Things becoming like God ordained for them to be. A shaking, bones come together, but we still have a problem. Well, I tried that, preacher, but they didn't get off the ground. That's because there was no breath in them. There was no breath. So what did he do? Did he quit? No, he said, I prophesied as he commanded. Just keep on prophesying. Just keep on prophesying. May not change overnight, probably won't. There was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain so that they may live. It's an interesting word there, slain. We walk among a lot of slain people every day, don't we? Lights are on, but no one's home. They've been slain in the process of life. A lot of people have been broken and bruised and wounded in life. And so he said, breathe upon these slain. Why? That they may live. So verse 10, he just keeps on prophesying. Church, listen to me. Don't quit. Keep on prophesying. Keep on speaking God's promises. Keep on speaking God's word. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they lived. And they stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. But God keeps coming back with the answer. You know, we keep whining with the excuse, but God keeps coming back with the answer. Keep on prophesying. Keep on believing. Keep on speaking the word of God. Keep on believing. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Not thus saith me, not saith you. Thus saith the Lord God. Oh. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. Not only did the breath of God come back into that situation, but the spirit of God came back in that situation. And ye shall live, and I will place you in my own land. And then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. No one here today has a situation drier or deader than Ezekiel 37. Don't try to give me your story. No one is facing anything drier, anything deader than Ezekiel's boneyard. I know I'm on the edge of challenge today. But that's who I am, and that's what I'm all about. And that's what I've been about for all these many years. Because I believe we serve a big God. And I believe we serve a miraculous God. And I believe we serve the God that comes through. I believe we serve the Lord of hosts. And by the grace of God, we can choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God did not put you in this world to eat food and drink water and occupy space. God put you in this world to make this world and where you work to be a better place. Ministering up in Colorado back in October, this just fell out of my Bible a moment ago. It was bright orange when I picked it up, the aspens. I leave it in my Bible because Psalms 1 said, his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just a leaf We're all leaves, but his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, that's a big verse, Pastor. I know it is, but I serve a big God. I serve a big God. You know, I listen very carefully to Rick Husband. I've seen it two or three times in one way or another because of the network there. You know, that man preached to more people in his death than he would have ever preached to in his life. Because first of all, he wasn't a preacher. What I mean, he did not have a platform as being a preacher or a public. Yeah, a lot of, in his circle, people listened to him. But did you know that people all over the world have heard now of a man, an astronaut by the name of Rick Husband, who said, I used to have the greatest desire of my heart was to be an astronaut, but that changed. And I just wanted to serve Jesus and for Jesus to be glorified in my body. Church, what's it all about? Is it about things and toys and thrills and us? No, it's some way, somehow that people look beyond this earth suit that we wear and they see a Jesus that they cannot deny. They see a faith that they cannot put down. They see a genuineness not only in, I don't know anything about the lives of the others, but I know these two men watching their wives and listening to their wives. These were families of faith. And even in the midst of tragedy, wall to wall, Jesus. Not one hesitation, but that Jesus is the most important thing in the world. And if you serve him and you put him first in life, then you don't have to worry about death. So what am I saying to you from a pastor's heart today? Your words are your future. About yourself, about your health, about your family, about your finances, about your nation, about your church. Your faith words consistently spoken are your future. Negative, fear-filled words will bring disaster. But if we'll speak the word of God, church, listen to me, we're coming out with flying colors. I tell you, what all of us need in our life and what I need in this church is people speaking good words. If you can't find a good word about this place, you're in the wrong house. Because I'm speaking good words about you. And I'm believing that God's going to just bring his very best into your life. So if I could just one more time share from a pastor's heart, it's time to prophesy. I'm not into that. Oh yeah, you're already doing it. Every day, you're either speaking your word or the word that you read or the word you heard. You're speaking the words of others or you're speaking the word of God. And every time you speak the word of God, you're driving a secure nail for eternity. Oh, hallelujah. All my family is dysfunctional. It's about time you were the straight one in the whole bunch. Everyone in my family has a heart attack at 50. Man told me that. He said, everybody in our family has a heart attack at 54. And he named three other men. You know what? At 54 years of age, he had the big one. He lived by the grace of God, but was never quite the same. Listen to me. We got to break the cycle. We got to break the chain. And that's where God gives us his word as new creations in Christ Jesus. It's time to prophesy. Prophesy over you. Prophesy over your children. When I say that, I don't mean grab them, but, you know, and yell in their face. That's not, but I mean speak the word of God in your quiet time. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God over our nation. Speak the word of God over our armed forces. Speak the word of God over those that make decisions. God has just quickened my heart. There's a number of things. Kind of like a pastor one time, he said, you know, Pastor, there's a lot of things need to change around here. I said, I've got a longer list than you do. I know there's things that need to change. We're in the process of doing the changes as quickly as we can, as God shows us. And then there's, God will have to show us that. But there's things to this day that only God has the answer to. And I've had to learn to back off and trust God and put my faith on the line. There's a lot of things that I want to see better, much better, and they will be better with time. First of all, Joe and I survived the storm. Didn't take us out. That's one step ahead right there. And then God gave us a new home for our school temporarily. And then God gave us a new church home. And thank God, all these properties are paid for. But we have to be wise stewards now for the rest of the journey and all the things that must be completed. But what's the answer? What we can't do, what we aren't, what I don't like about this, what I don't understand. No. Just start prophesying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In pastor, in the staff, in the church. And the more you prophesy the word of God over this house, you just watch it come to pass. If we start measuring imperfections by our little 6-inch rulers, you're the first one that's going to fail. Because you got a bad attitude. But if you'll speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd. Our church shall not want. God is bringing us through deep waters on the high side of victory.